So we're going to look at two practices today that will help us live this full-hearted life that we're all after. Often we in our current generation think that anything that's not recent is less somehow than those things that are more recent for us. Richard Foster said that's an unexamined notion, that we're somehow wiser or smarter than other generations simply because we have more technology or it's our time now. We can look back into the riches of history and find powerful rhythms and patterns that have been keeping Christians on the course of growing in life and intimacy with Christ in their interior life over the course of even millennia. And we want to look at two different practices today that can become great tools in our personal journey. The first is called the Daily Examine, and the second will be Lectio Divina. The Daily Examine is what I like to call a reorienting rhythm in a distracted age. Every day, about 8 to 9 times a day, I walk through silently the Daily Examine. This was originated by Ignatius of Loyola, who cared deeply in the 1500s about the heart being formed over time and patterns and rhythms that would keep us centered on gratefulness, aware of the presence of God, aware of our own emotions and how we're feeling in any given moment, and then that would lead us through a moment of prayer and looking forward into our day with hope. For Ignatius, this idea of the Daily Examine was a personal rhythm that you could practice a few times a day in order just to reorient when our brains and minds get distracted. I suffer from what maybe you have known as well, EBN, which is excessive brain noise. My brain is always working overtime. It is easy to distract me. I can see an email and be wildly distracted. I can see some entertainment. I can be talking to a friend. Anything can happen to distract me from my awareness of the presence of God and even my awareness of my own heart. For Ignatius, it was so important that we know ourselves in order to know God. His suggestion was that unless we've learned to lead ourselves, we shouldn't be leading anyone else in anything. The Daily Examine was a part of this rhythm for the Jesuit order that Ignatius founded. So I began to look at my own life at a particular time in my late 40s, and I began to realize that I was living in a very distracted way. The noise was winning for me, and I wasn't liking who I was becoming. There weren't enough pause points in my life. There weren't enough rest points, and I wasn't growing in gratefulness in the way that I had deeply desired to and thought I would be by the time I was in my late 40s. And that was the time that I encountered the Daily Examine for the first time. And the Daily Examine basically took you through past, present, and future all in the space of a few minutes. The Daily Examine that I'm about to teach you can be done in 1 minute. It can be done in 2 minutes. It could be done instead over 5 minutes. We're going to move through 5 different phases that look toward the past, what God has done, look at the present, how am I feeling right now and what's happening in my heart, and then that look toward the future with hope. Now, walk us through that in just a moment. The Daily Examine is what I call a portable liturgy. I do the Daily Examine multiple times a day whenever I feel my heart being distracted, whenever I feel like my emotions are leading me. Dallas Willard once said, emotions are a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. If that's true, the Daily Examine is for you. It'll become your jam, as it has for me. The Daily Examine can be done in my truck. It can be done when I'm walking at work. I get up and will get away from my laptop. I'll just walk around for a few minutes, do my Daily Examine, come back, and I'm refreshed and prepared for what will come. So let's dig into what this is. What are the 5 steps you walk through in the Daily Examine? Well, the first step is be still. Become still. And in that stillness, we want to become aware of the presence of God. That's step one. And we can use in this moment just our physical bodies as a way of quieting our hearts. Have you ever noticed that when you're physically still, that it tends to make your mind more still and your heart more still. We are one symbiotic whole, our system. And when we physically get still, we can become aware of how we're doing. And in that moment, we can become aware of the presence of God. I like to use an Orthodox breath prayer. In the Orthodox tradition, there's this idea that you could pray a prayer breathing in and breathing out, getting it working with your system. So it's an embodied prayer, if you will. And as I breathe in, I silently pray to myself, "You are here." I pray to Jesus, of course. Pray to myself quietly. "You are here." And as I breathe out, "And I am with you. You are here, and I am with you." And I do that for just a few moments until I'm centered on that reality that Christ is here, in me, with me, and I am with him. I am present to God as God has been present to me this whole time. But now I'm turning my awareness toward him. Second step is give thanks. Be still, and then give thanks. And in the give thanks portion, what you're going to do is silently to yourself review the last 3 hours or so, maybe even since the last time was that you did the daily examine. I like to do the daily examine as I'm going to sleep. I often fall asleep during part two, which is very helpful as well. Giving thanks, going to sleep, good combination. And I also do it before I get out of bed in the morning. As I'm lying there, I will do my daily examine. But in this second phase, we give thanks. We review the last 3 hours and we give our mind the liberty of thinking about every little detail that we could possibly be grateful for. Some mornings I have many things to be grateful for, or I'm in the mid-afternoon. I'm so thankful for what happened in that email exchange or in my conversation with my wife or one of my daughters or in that situation that I saw happening for someone else. And Lord, you resolved it. You answered my prayer this way. And I wait on the Lord to bring things to mind that I can be thankful for. Some days, honestly, the only thing I can be thankful for is another opportunity to trust him. Lord, this is a difficult morning. I thank you for another opportunity to trust you and see you at work. Sometimes I get super detailed in that time. I'm thanking God for that morning cup of coffee and how good it tasted. I'm thanking God for that smiling person who served it to me at that, you know, particular restaurant or coffee shop. I'm thanking God for the little details of maybe the smell of a warm fire in the morning in the winter or that the singing of birds on a spring or summer morning. I'm thankful. And if you allow your mind to roam over the terrain of the last hours in thankfulness, you're going to find that the Spirit's going to help you mine things that you find God in and can thank him for. What's happening is when you do that one day, that's one thing. When you do it multiple times in a day, that's another thing. When you do that every day over years, what begins to happen to your mind? Well, neuroscientists tell us that neuroplasticity kicks in. We become grateful people and our brains start to conform not to negative thinking and negative outcome thinking, but we start to conform our brains to gratefulness and seeing God at work. And we start to see more of God at work. Why? Because we're seeing more and we're expecting more. We're expecting to find God in all things. The third phase, is to reflect. At this moment, we become aware of our emotions. We pause and we say, "How am I coming to this moment?" And we name our emotion. I'm joyful right now. I'm content. I'm peaceful. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I'm angry. I feel like I'm in despair. I'm discouraged. We name our emotion in that moment and we give it to God. God, you know this is how I'm coming. I give you this anger. I give you this contentment and delight. I give you this. When you name it, you take the power out of it, especially when they're negative emotions. Negative emotions, unnamed, still have power over you. But when we name them, when we get them out there, we begin to see that there's something freeing that goes on, and we give it to God in that moment. Now, hear me. I will do all 5 steps, of which I'm only on step 3 right now, over the course of a minute. I can do that. And you can do it once you get it memorized and it's in your bones. Or you can take longer. Whatever it takes to settle you and whatever time you have, it works. So we've moved into from being still to giving thanks to now reflecting on the now. So we look to the past and thanks. Now we're in the now. How am I doing? And maybe you can't name an emotion. Maybe you just get a metaphor. I feel like I just got hit by a Mack truck. I feel like I'm on a mountaintop. I'm coming to this moment, Lord, crawling on my hands and knees. I'm coming to this moment, Lord, like a little child that just got a balloon at the carnival. You know, whatever that is, name it and give it to God with thanksgiving. That moves us then from this present moment into another present moment where we pray. We choose one feature of the day, a joy or a sorrow thus far, and we pray. I typically let rise in my heart whatever God wants to have rise in my thoughts and my heart first. What is overshadowing everything that's going on? Is it a great joy? Is it a sorrow? Is it something I did that, Lord, I need to repent of that. I wanted to follow your way, but I didn't do that well. Show me how I can make amends. Or, Lord, thank you. I actually forgave someone. I'm actually becoming like you. This is fantastic. Celebrate it. Whatever that is, identify that burden, identify that joy, and take a moment and pray. Talk to the Lord about it. Give it to the Lord and trust it to his care. And then we look forward. We've looked back in thankfulness. We've and looking at the presence of God with us now to this moment. Then we've become aware of our own emotions and prayed about a joy or a sorrow. Now we're going to look forward with hope. And the last phase is hope. You're going to look forward to the next 3 hours. To me, that's enough of an increment. And we're going to say to the Lord, I hope in you. I entrust these next 3 hours to you. I expect that I'll see you at work. I trust that you'll help me be like you, Lord Jesus, and that you'll move me forward in our journey together. That is a basic daily examine. Now, what I'm going to do for just about 2 minutes is actually lead you through one. So go ahead and quiet your heart and still your body for a moment. And I'm going to walk us through it. Maybe close your eyes. Just take a posture of receiving from the Lord. And just become aware of the presence of God. Breathe in, you are here. And breathe out, and I am with you. Now look back over the past 3 hours or so, and let your mind wander over the terrain of those hours and come up with every little thing you could be thankful for and say thank you to God for each one as it arises. Just let them come like popcorn and say thank you to the Lord for each thing that arises, simple or complex and big. Bring it to the Lord with thanks. And now come to the present moment. How are you coming to this moment? Can you name an emotion and give it to the Lord? Or is there an image or metaphor that he might give you? Name how you come to this moment and just present it to the Lord. Now allow to rise to the surface for a moment of prayer, a joy or a sorrow. What most comes to mind? Take a hold of that and either revel in it, give thanks for it to the Lord, or talk to the Lord about it if it's a burden or a concern. Give to the Lord that thing that rises from this past 3 hours, or it could be longer than that. Just take it and have a conversation with the Lord about it. Now, having become aware of the presence of God, having given thanks for what He's done in the last hours, having become aware of your own emotions and having given them to the Lord, having prayed about a joy or a sorrow, now look forward with hope, expectation that in the next 3 hours you will find God in all things, that you will see God act. Entrust these next 3 hours to Him and see them through the lens of hope. Put your hope in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the daily examine. You can do that in a very short way or in a long way. I encourage you to practice it as you go to sleep tonight, as you wake up in the morning, at the very least for at least 2 weeks. Give it that time and see if it becomes a place of anchoring, if it builds you and renews you from the inside out. The next practice we want to look at is called Lectio Divina. It literally means divine reading. It's a way of reflectively, contemplatively reading the scriptures. It's a way, as one person has said, of instead of reading the scriptures, allowing the scriptures to read you. It's treating the scriptures as the true living word that it is. It's allowing its space to be active, to be a point of contact between the Holy Spirit and you, to speak into your life a word that you need. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart." I have hidden your word in my heart. Now for you, if you think of scriptures that you remember and that you know, how often are those scriptures, especially ones that have meant something to you at a particular point in time, where God met you and revealed something to you through His Word that enlivened you, that gave you courage, that gave you a sense of joy and strength to go forward? Well, Lectio Divina seeks to do that. It's a way of reflectively reading the scripture so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us through it. Now, this has been most closely aligned with the Benedictine tradition in the church. That's where it was kind of formulated, but it actually goes back all the way to Origen and to Ambrose and early church fathers and mothers who had a way of meditatively reading the scriptures. Scriptures in earlier millennia and in earlier centuries were read more slowly. We were savoring the scriptures rather than gulping them. We were sipping them rather than just swigging them down. We go for quantity at times in our discipleship. We're not after quantity in Lectio Divina. We're after quality. We're after interacting with words and phrase in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit will illumine for our journey into wholeness and into Christ-likeness. We want to linger in the light of the Word long enough to feel its warmth and it to get into our bones. So I'm going to lead us in Lectio Divina for a moment, and this is a practice that you can do on your own, or you can do this even with a group. I'll give us a shortened version of one. And it's just a way of reading the scriptures that could become almost an internal pathway for you, that it becomes the new way that you read and even hear passages. So let me walk you through. The first thing we're going to do is read the passage. Then I'm going to read the passage a second time, and we're going to meditate on it, noticing one word or phrase that jumps out in that passage that connects with us. Then the third step is we're going to pray. We're going to hear the entire passage again for a third time through the lens of that phrase, and we're just going to pray with it, pray with that word or phrase as we hear the scripture. And then finally, we're going to contemplate it. We're going to linger in it, and we're going to ask God a simple question. Lord, is there a response that you are welcoming from me in response to this word or phrase that the you, Spirit, are illuminating to me? So we're going to use Psalm 63, verses 1 to 4. And I'm simply going to read the passage. And this time, I just want you to hear it. You're just listening to the passage overall. God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Now I'm going to read it a second time, and you're listening for one word or phrase that connects with where you're at today. Just one word or phrase. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Take that word or phrase and simply repeat it quietly to yourself. Now I'm going to read the passage again, and I'd like you to hear the entire passage through the lens of that word or phrase and make it a prayer as you hear the scripture. You, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Finally, I'll read it through one last time. And as I read it through, you're asking the Lord, is there a response to this word or phrase that you've illumined to me, Holy Spirit, that you're welcoming me to? And as I read through it, I'll end with just a few moments of silence. Typically, I would end each time with a few moments of silence, but just for time, I'm moving a little more quickly. But we're asking God for any response He's welcoming from us. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your glory and your power. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Amen. So whatever that response was that you sense the Lord inviting you to, I'd encourage you to write that down, and for the rest of today, make that a point you come back to. Repeat that word or that phrase. Consider the response God is inviting you to and act on it. So this practice is a great practice to now enlist in the way that you read the scriptures going forward. Thanks for joining in.